This is Pet Life Radio. Let's talk pets.
Hey there, cat lovers. Welcome back to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat on Pet Life Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Catherine Prim, and I'm a small animal veterinarian and crazy cat lover. Today, I have Dr. Mary Gardner with me. She has been a guest on the show before. She is sort of a specialist in managing geriatric pets, and so she's going to give us some hacks and tips for ways to make life better for older cats and maybe why we would want to. So we'll be right back with Dr. Mary after this short break.
Take a bite out of your competition. Advertise your business with an ad in Pet Life Radio podcasts and radio shows. There is no other pet-related media that is as large and reaches more pet parents and pet lovers than Pet Life Radio. With over 7 million monthly listeners, Pet Life Radio podcasts are available on all major podcast platforms. And our live radio stream goes out to over 250 million subscribers on iHeartRadio, Odyssey, TuneIn, and other streaming apps. For more information on how you can advertise on the number one pet podcast and radio network, visit PetLifeRadio.com/advertise today.
Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to Nine Lives with Dr. Cat on Pet Life Radio. And as I said, I have Dr. Mary Gardner with me today. Hi.
Hello. How are you?
Great. I'm so glad to have you back. You're such a fun guest. And I think that this message is a really important one, that cats kind of hide things and we need to be tuned in to what older cats need. Don't you agree?
I couldn't agree more. I think with dogs, it's so much more obvious to pet owners when things are troubling them, or, you know, they can't go for longer, you know, long walks anymore, or they're having trouble getting on or off the couch. And I just think cat owners don't notice the signs of aging and struggles in our cats as much. So I think it's a great topic.
Me too. And you have some interesting resources, I believe, and you even talk about caregivers taking care of themselves as well as taking care of the cats. And you have some books. So there's like so much stuff that we can talk about that I just kind of get overwhelmed. But let's start talking about old crunchy cats and what they might need.
My favorite is the old crunchy cats. You know, I think we concentrate a lot in veterinary medicine on the medicine, which I think is so important to make sure that we've got up-to-date blood work and x-rays and other diagnostics when appropriate. But I think we sometimes forget about the life of the cat and the owner at home. And so I love to talk about home hacks for old cats and how we can, you know, make sure that the cats can, you know, not only get around, that they can also still find their hiding spots when they want to be kind of an introvert, if you will, and make sure that they're safe.
Well, you know, a lot in my exam room, I kind of have learned what questions to ask now, but people sort of think that the cat not doing the things it used to do or whatever is just that she's getting old. And I try to help people realize that there are things that we can do to make getting old better. Aging is not a disease, right?
I always say old age is not an excuse. And because that's what people say, they're just getting old. And I'm like, but it's not age. It's actually problems. There are things that are happening and we can do things, whether it is medication, whether it is a change of diet, whether it's to make things a little bit easier around the house. We absolutely should not use that as an excuse to do nothing.
I agree. Okay, but you know what? I jumped right in with you because I know you, but I didn't give you the opportunity to tell us who you are and how you got to be here, and that's probably important for my listeners.
I guess so. Yeah, we do know each other, so we just go right for the, you know, we go for the big guns and start talking. So I am a small animal veterinarian that has been doing exclusively hospice and end-of-life care. So I'm a co-founder of a company called Lap of Love Veterinary Hospice. And we are an organization across the country helping families with end-of-life care in the home. And I think I've become a Crunchy Cat lover probably in the last, 12 years or so, because that's what I see. I see older cats and the owners that are saying goodbye to them. And so many people think that I must be extremely sad and with compassion fatigue because I help families say goodbye to their pets. But although it is sad, and I don't like to see people saying goodbye to any pet, what makes me most sad is when I go to homes and this crunchy cat has not been to their veterinarian. They don't know really what's wrong. They kind of have some guesses. But the biggest thing is that for probably at least a year or more, we could have helped this cat have a better life. I may not be able to extend the life, but can I have a better life and also the life of the families? So by doing end-of-life work with Lap of Love, it started to, really kind of hyper-focus my attention to the old crunchy cats and the weak and wobbly dogs.
And so it doesn't have to start when you get called in as a hospice veterinarian.
Right.
It can actually start much earlier and give them a better life the rest of the time, right?
It absolutely should start years before they ever need to see us. And what's sad is that I did some research and we looked at, I think the cats, it was probably close to 500,000 cats that were euthanized in the United States. And 55% of them had not been to their veterinarian a year before they were euthanized. That last year is like you and I not going to see our doctor for our last decade, right? Like generalization here, but... And then many of them hadn't been to their doctor for two or more years. And I think when people call us for hospice, I don't want to sound negative, like it's too late, but it's so late in the game that it's frustrating because we could have done more. And we could have made life better for that cat. We could have relieved some pain. We could have relieved some anxiety. And we could have relieved some nausea, feel whatever it may be. And so I do wish that more senior cats did go to their veterinarian way before, end of life conversations.
I agree. And I think that as a society, we're getting better with making recommendations for people at certain ages.
Yeah.
And I wish veterinary medicine could sort of catch up with that, or maybe we can get the word out. But I mean, as people age, you need to set up things like colonoscopies or mammograms or whatever, and
yes,
your doctor tells you about those things, because research shows that early detection and early management of these things can make a difference for you. And so there are things that we need to be doing for our cats. Let's talk about those things.
Yeah. Okay. And you know what I was just thinking, I think because the lifespan of our pets are so much shorter, I think sometimes a lot of people say, well, what is Dr. Cat going to do? He's only got 6 months or a year left. So what's the difference? They kind of are, because the time frame is so short. But I actually have a really bad knee and it hurts. And I can't imagine, I go up and down the stairs and I cringe. And I can't imagine me living the next, 10 years, let's say, in this situation, let alone 6 months. And so I think, at what point is time an issue? If I can relieve pain and suffering for a cat, even for a day, it's worth it. And so I think getting into it, the biggest problem, not the biggest, but a big problem I see that kind of often goes unnoticed is mobility issues in cats. And I think you probably know better than me. I think the percentage is extremely high. Near 100% of cats have a form of arthritis when they're at a certain age. And with dogs, the number one risk factor of a dog to get arthritis is obesity. The number one risk factor for a cat to have arthritis is being an old cat. So,
yeah, just being a cat.
It's just being a cat. And so we see them slowing down. We see them not going to their sunny spot anymore. Maybe they're not getting on the couch, or they slide down off the couch or off the bed instead of jumping off. They kind of brace themselves, if you will. And because the cats don't typically go for walks with us, we don't notice their pain and their mobility issues. And so almost all cats are going to have some form of arthritis. And so we need to make sure that their stability and traction is good. So, if you've got hardwood floors or tile floors and they're slipping, that could be an issue. So having little runways of yoga mats or, you know, bath mats with rubber matting can be so helpful. Getting up and down to their sunny spot, that windowsill may only be 2.5 feet tall, but that's a lot for a cat. And just putting an intermediate step in the way or, you know, or stairs to get to the windowsill, to get to the couch, to get into the bed. And there's so many products out there for cats to use. And it doesn't have to be super fancy and expensive, like $100, you know, step. It could be a, you know, $10 step that you find at Home Depot. Or one of my favorite types of steps is little toddler toilet training, potty training steps, like for them to go to sit up on the toilet. These are tiny little steps that are so, you know, kind of cute too. And you could put it next to your couch. So it doesn't have to be a really big expense. But making sure cats have stability and traction and can get to their, you know, sunny spot, their favorite spot, is really important.
And, you know, you mentioned your knee. So, you know, what if you had a painful knee and you couldn't tell anyone?
Right.
These cats, 80%, I think the statistic was 80% of cats over the age of 8. Now, I might have messed it up, but I think that it's that. And if you were suffering, so that's my pitch for my listeners. Yeah. If you have an older cat, an 8 or above, see your veterinarian and let them assess, because your cat can't tell you and really show you that
exactly
your knee hurts or whatever.
No, and you're right. It is about that percentage of over 8 years old. But once it's over 12 years old, it is close to 100. Like, it's crazy how much percentage. But 8, you know, that's like kind of young to me. You know, it's still a senior cat, but it's, they've got years ahead of them. So can you imagine years of living in pain? And so it's important to see your vet. And there's other things that I help families with, like the food bowls. If that kitty cat's got some arthritis, whether it's in the front end or the back end, just leaning over into the food bowl can strain them. So although I love elevated food bowls, I like actually tilted elevated food bowls. So there's a tilt to them. So they just kind of walk right into the food bowl or the water bowl. And you could do that. There's inexpensive products on like Amazon or whatever, but you can also just get it kind of home, make your own.
Yeah, I love it. Okay, so I'm going to take a quick break and we're going to come back and continue with Dr. Mary with some more stuff that you can do at home to help make older cats' lives better. We'll be right back. Hey there, cat lovers. This is Dr. Cat from 9 Lives with Dr. Cat. Did you know that there are an estimated 70 to 100 million free-roaming cats in the United States? And without spay and neuter, that number is just going to keep growing. Not only does spaying and neutering humanely reduce the community cat population, but it also keeps cats healthier. Scooter, the neutered cat, is on a mission to give cats an extra life by making it hip to be snipped. Visit his website, givethem10.org, to help pioneer a better world for cats. That's givethem10.org. Well, 9 lives are great, but let's add another one and give them 10.
Let's talk pets. On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to 9 Lives with Dr. Cat on Pet Life Radio. Dr. Mary Gardner, the geriatric animal specialist, is here telling us some tips and things and products to look for and other ways to make older cats' lives better. So, yes, elevating things. So eating is easier. So getting into your favorite spot is easier and not slipping on the floor and seeing your veterinarian. Those are really good tips.
Yeah. And, you know, we're talking about elevating, but now let's talk about, you know, making things lower. And one of those would be the litter box, the entrance to the litter box. And sometimes it's very high because we don't want them, you know, scooping the litter out onto the floor, but that's a high step for them. And so either putting a little tiny step in front of that, so that way it's, you know, like 2 steps into their litter box, or simply lower in the edge. And I love big Rubbermaids where I'll either cut a hole out of it, or I'll get the boxes that go under, like storage boxes that go under your bed. So they're only a few inches tall and they're wide. As you know, Dr. Cat, like every cat is different. And so some cats like to have privacy. Some cats don't want to have privacy and they don't like edges to their litter box. And then sometimes it's actually extremely difficult for them to walk in the sand. And so there's other litter options, you know, like pelleted newspapers and even just a training pad or a wee-wee pad on the floor. But there's a great product that is usually used for dogs, but it's a training pad holder. So it holds it in place. And so for one of my older cats, I had that and I put a wee-wee pad in that and it held it down and she went on that. And that was her life for the last year. And it was fine. It was better than her peeing right outside the box because she couldn't get into it. So, you know, the litter box is important. Some other things that I think we tend to forget about is, you know, they like orthopedic beds too, but they're not just for dogs. And making sure that our cats have good comfort for where they're sleeping is not something to forget about. And then another problem with our older cats, and if I may, I'll do my impression, that it usually happens around 2 a.m. And that would sound like this.
Awesome.
And that is, you know, a sign of, let's say, it could be many things, but a sign of anxiety with cognitive dysfunction, which our cats get too. And so as they get older, they may get kind of like Alzheimer's in humans, where they get cognitive dysfunction and they have anxiety. And something that I really want to encourage families to do, though, is definitely see your veterinarian if you start to see those signs, because some other problems exacerbate that, like urinary tract infections and high blood pressure can actually show signs like that. So we want to rule those things out. And then we could add some supplements and things like that to help our cats with cognitive issues, along with games. Old cats can learn new tricks, and we should be getting games for them and scratching posts and all these things to just keep their, you know, enrichment high.
I agree. Old cats are not just ornaments. They they need to interact with us.
Yes, they really do. And I think we need to interact with them also for our own hearts. You know, like it is, I always say, you know, it's never long enough and nine lives are not enough. And that's what I named my book for cats. And spending quality time with your cat is vital, because after they're gone, you wish you had another 30 minutes, right? Like you wish you had more time. And so really dedicating every day where it's just alone time with your cat, you know, whether it's grooming them, because a lot of times they've got, with this arthritis, they can't groom themselves really well anymore. So getting, I love the Zoom Groom, which is a really nice, soft, rubbery brush. And my older cats love it. And just really being there with your cat at the end, because it's so good for them and it's so good for us.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned the getting in and out of the litter box hurting. I see patients all the time, and I actually like to work out. And sometimes when I work out, it makes me so sore to get onto the toilet, and it gave me a new appreciation.
Totally. I know. Listen, I'm redoing my bathroom, and I was at the plumbing store, and they're showing me the toilets that are like much higher. And I'm like, what? And I sat down and got back up. I'm like, that's actually really nice.
So yeah, I know.
I'm at the stage where I need an elevated toilet, which is not good.
So, you know, cats need a lower litter box. You and me might need an elevated toilet, but you know, we just have to be respectful of aging, I think.
Exactly. Totally.
Okay. Well, so we've talked about the food bowls and getting to their favorite sleeping spots. What about encouraging them to move around?
I know. And especially, I do have one cat that's kind of just a blob right now. And she's, you know, up teen. I don't even know how old she is, but it is harder. I think, first off, we do need to manage pain. So there's a lot of great options out there now for pain management in cats. And once we start, you know, having that under control, they'll move around even more. So having enrichment in their environment, like the games, like actually having, you know, I want them to try to go up the stairs and go up steps and things like that, because that's going to keep them healthy. Our muscles, if you don't use them, you lose them, right? And there's something called sarcopenia, which is basically muscle loss as we age. If you think about humans, and if you have ever looked at an 80 or a 90-year-old, they're usually very frail looking. And that's what happens to our cats. They turn into like potato chips. So we got to keep their muscles, active to keep them in shape. So having activities, playing with them, the laser lights, whatever, is what's most fun for your cat, try to do. But I think what's most important is that we get any pain that they may have under control. So that way they can enjoy it and want to do it.
I agree. We have a lot of new stuff to help cats with pain, but that's another episode. But yes, include your veterinarian, because there are options now, and you may not realize it. I really hear a lot when I tell people that I think their cat has pain. They're like, really?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, they just don't know.
They just don't know. And it could be, we can do a physical exam so we can, touch things and we feel them flinch a little bit and so many other things, but stuff like, they're looking a little dandruffy in their back end or a little greasy. It's because they're not grooming themselves as much. And these guys are groomers. And so when you can't go, down and like clean your back and stuff as a cat in human hospice, there's one thing that the human hospice and geriatricians need to do is look at the feet of humans. You can't bend over to cut your toenails as you get older, right? So the same concept in cats, they actually can't groom their feet. They don't, pull out their nails. They don't groom their hind end as well. So looking at that, and it could also just be a simple sign of maybe fur standing up along their spine. It's subtle signs that not only if you're not looking for what you can't do again, like we mentioned earlier, Dr. Cat, is say, well, he's just getting old. And so he's going to look ugly. He's going to look scrappy. He's going to look scrawny. Like, no, yes, they will, but no, there's so many things that we could do to help them feel better, and you just may not notice it.
Yep, exactly. Your relationship with your veterinarian and mindful caregiving, I think. So I know that you talk a little bit about caregiving and how difficult it can be to take care of a pet nearing the end of its life. Can we go through that maybe just a little?
Yeah. There's something called caregiver fatigue and caregiver burden. And it's basically the stress that comes along with caring for your older pet. And I did a survey once of a couple thousand caregivers, and it's about 3 hours a day that they're caring for their aged pet, whether it's trying to, different food options, pilling their cat, giving sub-Q fluids, cleaning up the poop or the pee because they've missed the litter box, whatever it may be, it's a lot. And also the just stress of cleaning up. My cat, who's older, the one that's older, she's having, really bad diarrhea, and it's been happening for about a year. She's got IBD, and it's tough. Like, she then gets it on her, and then she drags it around the house, and it's frustrating. And then she wakes me up at 2 o'clock in the morning, whatever it may be, right? It can add so much stress to our own lives with all the other stuff that we've got going on, and it can kind of, damage the bond a little bit. So I always tell owners, give yourself some grace. And this is where if you're not getting the help from a veterinarian, you're going to have more problems. So we can actually help with some of these things to get better night's sleep for everybody, better hygiene for everybody, all these things that we could do, and like you said, another episode for some of the medications are now, some of them are monthly instead of daily. Like, there's so many great options out there, but I know the struggles that come along with caring for an older pet. And be kind to yourself. You are going to get frustrated. Then you're going to be mad at yourself for being frustrated. Like, it's this whole just circle of anxiety. And also a huge problem, Dr. Cat, is deciding when it's time to say goodbye. And that adds a lot of stress, a lot of guilt, a lot of mixed emotions. Family members all don't agree. Like, it can be really, big struggle for pet owners. And that is a whole other conversation that I have with owners about how to assess the quality of life of your kitty cat and making sure that their last phase is really good and that we don't wait too long to say goodbye and have regrets later on. Because that is something that I hate families to have, is to have regrets. And it's hard. It will always be too soon until it's too late. And so caregiver burden is just so all-encompassing of not only all the struggles you're having caring for your pet, but also the worries about when comes time to say goodbye.
Well, I think that letting your veterinarian help you is so critical. I say that. I'm a veterinarian. That seems a little bit self-promoting, I guess. But I want to help these people.
Totally.
That's what I do. And so reach out and communicate with your veterinarian what the problems are, because we've done this a lot.
Right. Right. We've done this. We know. And, you know, I got to tell you, sometimes, you know, when I'm, quote, off duty, you know, we never are, right? But I'll hear people and I just internally, like, ugh, like, please just go to your vet, because they just don't. And they'll ask Facebook group members questions, and they don't. And then the answers are all, half of them say go to your vet, but then the other ones are just, they're not right. And like, it can drive me a little bonkers sometimes.
Yeah, me too. But you know what? Maybe some people will say, listen to Nine Lives with Dr. Kat.
There you go. Exactly. Right.
But no, I mean, they say, you know, rub a little essential oils on it or whatever. But I'm saying communicate with your veterinarian, because we really are on your side. So Dr. Gardner has a website that has a lot of resources, and it is drmarygardner.com. And there's a pet parents link that you can click on where you can see some of the products that she talked about or how to get her books. If you do not have your own veterinarian, that would be a good place to start, but you need your own veterinarian too.
Yep. To take a look at your cat, to really assess everything, learn about the history. And you know what? Try some different suggestions that they have and see, you know, and see what good changes can come. And, you know, and like I always say, just don't take for granted the short amount of time that we have with them. And I'd rather have that short amount of time be as best as it could be.
I think that my listeners would agree. And I think the people in my exam room say, I just want her to feel good. And yeah, and so we're all on the same team. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out to talk with us today.
You're very welcome. I love always coming on your podcast.
Yep, it's fun. And of course, thank you to my amazing producer, Mark Winter. And as always, my listeners, I want you to go out and have a perfect day.
Let's Talk Pets, every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com.